Right, I'm ready for the words. Great stuff. I found the wobbly spot again. Not much better.
No,
it's wobbly everywhere. I think it's time for a new lectern. I think new building, new lectern. That's good. Everything with building's going really well. By the way, the projector, small projector here, is really not very good.
No,
it's hard to show you like good photos. We've tried to convince the school over there, just so you know, just to let you know, we've tried to convince the school over the years to replace the projector, and they won't use your halves on it, and they won't do it either. So that's why sometimes the color reproduction on screen is not great at all. It's not very bright. Sometimes if you look on the laptop, Paul's using, the colors on there are totally different when they appear here sometimes. So it's not easy showing videos and photos and stuff. But anyway, if you're on social media, you'll be seeing some of that stuff. So yeah, it's all doing really, really well. God is good. Bless us to lots of great contractors and getting things done. Suspended ceilings have all been replaced. The HVAC, which is electric Ethan / air conditioning, that's go in by the end of October. That's going to be awesome. Has to be awesome as well. It's going to be amazing. A proper air conditioned building. Because we're so good. And the fat roof area, which is where the kitchen, loos, and other rooms are, that's the heavenly gas boiler put in because the gas boilers were deaf. They were condemned. What was there? Now the radiator's now working, it's now hot water. It's awesome. Floor will be going in Sousa's. Yeah, lots of great stuff. Happening. People keep on asking me, and I totally understand why. People have asked me when we're aiming to be in. I've never really publicly said too much about it because I don't want to make promises I can't keep. Because obviously there's certain things out of my control, a lot of things I have to handle my control, and that says, because it's dependent on contractors, yeah, but they can do things in the right order, and they're available when we want them to be available, all those kind of things. But all being well, and if God willing, we're hoping to be in by Christmas. Yeah. Is our aim. It might even kick off with a Christmas service. I don't know exactly what that will look like, but that will certainly be our aim. I think it's important to talk about this. We're not going to rush it just for the sake of it. It ends up being January. It's January. You know, it's a bit like when the all-leaf house, isn't it? Everyone wants to be in by Christmas, isn't it? It's just like, it's always been that dynamic, isn't it? We must be in by Christmas. So we're not going to rush it just for the sheer sake of it. But as things are going, it's all going to plan schedule-wise at the moment, then we're aiming to be in kind of by mid-December, which would be awesome. Amen. Exciting. Oh, yeah. So, yeah. So look out on social media. There'll be more photos. I'll at least put another video together. Just the latest update. And of course, we had our working party last week. We were who led the working party as well. We'll let you know with the date for that one. There are loads of you getting stuck in as well. So exciting times ahead. Praise God. So good. Great. So, of course, we've been working through Acts chapter 2, which has been, awesome. We're working our way through Acts chapter 2, verse 42. In particular, I mean, looking at the early church, that's the original church. Doesn't mean to say they were just like, was early for events. Okay, it's just being called the early church. Okay, as in the church that was birthed after Jesus' death and resurrection. And the church that was birthed at that time, they often, in the early days, they met in synagogues. And because obviously they all had been Jews, all had been practicing Jews. From Jewish heritage and Jewish religious practice. Often they meet in synagogues or they meet in homes and in different places. But God did amazing things through the early church. And you know, we can learn so many great principles, you know, for what happened. We're not trying to copy anything, because I don't think that's helpful either. But what we absolutely are trying to do is understand the principles of how the early church worked. Amen. To understand what made them successful, what made them effective. You know, because the church completely exploded, you know, across Israel. And if you know your church history, you know, then it started to spread across Europe and spread across the world in time, which is amazing. They all started with the early church and them getting their principles right. So we can learn so much from that. So we're looking at Acts 2, verse 42. It says, the early church, devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer.
Yeah.
So just kind of a summary of what we've done so far. This is the final part today of this five-part series. We looked at what the principle of what being devoted is about. I made a video from Pastor Andy, if you remember, right back at the beginning of the series, just about devoted to the word, what the word of God says. Yeah, that should be our foundation. We're in the foundation for what we believe, be what the Bible says. We talked about devoted fellowship. Elisa spoke on that. Talked about connect groups, our connect group Sunday. you know, alongside that, the importance of fellowship. And today we're going to talk, last week we talked about devoted to the journey, which is more kind of about just in Acts, that they were just always growing new leaders, but there was always change, they were always moving forward. Also, we talked about the future of Family Church, some of the changes that hopefully you're all aware of, and I hope you see the email if you weren't there last week, about the future. What's happened, what's changing on a whole church level. Me and Wendy aren't going anywhere. Okay. Beth. Okay. Thank you. Thanks, Olivia. Beth, not. What you do, we do. Anyway.
So me and Wendy aren't going anywhere, but our training is happening. You know, Pastor Andy, Pastor Gina, and Stu and Carter are becoming senior pastors from 1st of February. It was really, really exciting. Of course, doing some amazing stuff there. So read your emails if you weren't here last week, because the video was on the email. Amazing. Anyways, we talked about the fact that, you know, devoted to the journey. So what we called last week, overall as the church, we should always be moving forward into all that God has for us and growing new leaders and growing people, etc. Awesome. So today, part five, devoted to prayer, spending time in his presence. And God's really been connecting that together. So Wendy just shared what God had put on her heart about that. I didn't even know what I was speaking on and such. We do communicate sometimes. But she didn't know specifically. Yeah. Oh, yeah, he's a marriage of riches, isn't he? Anyway. Anyway, yes, pastors still need their marriage of riches. Absolutely true. I'm not even joking. Anyway, we do.
Yes.
As we all do. Anyway, let's not get distracted. So kind of the main focus, you know, prayer was like so integral, you know, to what happened in the early church. It was so much part of their culture, you call it their DNA, the DNA of who they were and how they functioned and how they were effective. You know, they talked with God. They had personal relationship with God. They talked with God. You know, that's one of the essences of any kind of relationship, isn't it? Talking about marriage, you know, whether it's in a marriage or whether it's in a friendship, as with your parents or children. You know, intercourse relationship is communicated with each other. Everyone agree, right? Yeah. You have a relationship where only one person does all the talking. Have you got any of those type of relationships? I'm not going to comment on that. Anyway, if you've got any of those type of relationships where one person does all the talking, it's not really working in the proper way that it should, is it? There's not two-way communication, is it? There's not really work. And if you don't speak at all, well, there's not really a relationship there, is there? And I know, sadly, obviously, that happens in family breakdowns and stuff like that, you know, where people aren't on talking terms, and pray God restores that stuff. But integral to relationship is communication. Everyone agree? God has created us as humans to be communicative people, communicative with each other, but even more importantly, communicative with God. They didn't just talk about God, they talked with God. Amen? And it's just incredible things that happened as a result, the power, boldness, and miracles and things it released in the early church is a prayer that was just desperate for God to move. Now, we need to be desperate for God to move. Amen?
Yeah.
You know, in this world that's so confused and messed up and everything's just shifting all over the place, and you can't really kind of like, you know, there's nothing seems to stay fixed these days, is there? Maybe as I'm getting older and just you look back on over what's happened over the years and you feel a bit differently about it. I don't know. But it just seems that just so many things just constantly changing. And it's just all over the place, you know, whether it's economically or politics is just, will be a worldwide. It's just a complete thing. That's a mess. Not like aiming at any politicians in particular, but it is just totally confused and a total mess. And economically, it's just all over the place. And just in so many, morally, for the world is all over the place. It doesn't, you know, the kind of the big thing for the world is that, you know, the morality is just subjective. It's just morality is what you want it to be. There's no objective morality. That's kind of use of theological terms. It's all just subjective. Morality is what I think it is. Well, hang on, there's 8 billion people on the planet. We're all having different views of what morality is. There's going to be a whole lot of issues here, right? We've got nothing to kind of like you know, hang our hat on, so to speak. But we know the Bible is the foundation of our morality. Amen? It's the very foundation, and has been the very foundation of Western and Eastern society for thousands of years, where people have gone a bit off course. But anyway, we need God to move. And then we need God to move in this area. We need God to move across the water side. We need God to move in our nation. We need God to move across our planet. Amen. So some different points I want to look at this morning we can learn from Acts 2. So firstly, number one, so prayer unites us with heaven. Prayer unites us with heaven. What prayer does, it aligns us with God's heart
and will. We need to know what God's heart is. We need to know what God's will is. Amen. Ephesians 6, verse 18, Paul writes this, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, we alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. To pray in the Spirit in all occasions, all kinds of prayers and requests, to bring those before God. I know I've said this before, but I'll say it again. Remember, when we pray, we're not giving God information. It's not things he doesn't already know. Nothing we pray is ever going to shock God. Oh, isn't that the beginning of the new world? God absolutely knows. We're not giving you information. But it's about just sharing our heart with him and pouring out our heart before him and being desperate for him to move and to change us and to work in our lives. And of course, God wants to communicate back with us. As I said, communication shouldn't only be one way. That's true in human relationships, isn't it? So if we should understand that principle, that's also how it works with God, is the way he's created us. He wants it to be two-way communication. He wants to speak into our hearts. He wants to speak to us through the word of God. Amen? You know, sometimes we have to make sure that we allow room for that, don't we? Sometimes it could be all our time in prayers, giving our requests to God. There's nothing wrong with that. But there is an issue if we don't allow any time for God to speak back to us. Amen? In Matthew 6, of course, what's often termed as the Lord's Prayer, and Jesus says this. So this is disciples. This, then, is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. That means holy. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. But just one focus on one particular. I mean, so much brilliant content in there. Just really just focus on, your will be done. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Do we agree that God's will is done in heaven?
Yes.
God's perfect will is done in heaven. Do we agree?
Yeah.
Anyone disagree? That's good. We can chat after. Okay, God's will is always done in heaven, right? God is done his totally. God is totally in charge. You know, he's sovereign over the earth as well. That's also true. No, but in heaven, what God says is what happens. And that no one's going to argue with it. If you argue with it, you probably wouldn't have ended up in heaven, right? Because you'd hardly understand who God is in reality of who God is, right? His will is done in heaven. So we're encouraged what Jesus said. It was encouraging us to pray that his will is done on earth, on this planet, just like it is in heaven, his perfect will is carried out. So that's what we are to pray, to know what his will is and to pray that into place. It aligns us with God's heart and will, unites us with what heaven wants to do, what God desires to do. It's not God's will that any should perish, as well as Scripture tells, but all should come to the knowledge of God. That is God's heart for our world. Amen? Even though so many people in our world have rejected God, or maybe just don't even know about God, or just indifferent towards God, his heart absolutely for them, his heart of love and compassion for them, is the seed to be saved. Everyone agree?
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. God is amazing in that way and in so many ways. But prayer unites us with heaven. As we pray, God reveals his will for our own lives and for what he desires to do, in our area, in our planet. Amen. We need to know God's will for our own lives. Amen. And God has a plan for each and every one of us. It starts with us. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. On earth, it starts with us. Praying that over ourselves. Lord, your will be done in me. Amen. So prayer unites us with heaven. Number two, prayer releases power. This is a number of times recorded throughout the book of Acts. Acts 4, verse 31 says this. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God boldly. It means after they prayed, they were encouraged, but it also made things happen. It shifted things in the spiritual realm. And our battle is not against, as Paul writes in Ephesians 6, our battle is not against flesh and blood. Right? In this world, what goes on in this world, the spiritual forces behind it all. Right? Battle is not against flesh and blood, it's against principalities and powers in the heavenly realms, is what Paul tells us. When we pray, it changes states. Amen? It should change it. When we pray with faith and expectation, and God hears our prayers and answers our prayers, it changes situations. So when they prayed, the place where they're meeting, it was physically shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God boldly. And that was the work of the Holy Spirit within them. It's giving them supernatural boldness and courage, to preach the word. You see that in Acts 2, Acts 3, It was Acts 2. Acts 2, you know, the day of Pentecost itself, when you had like Peter and all the issues that Peter had and all the challenges that he had, and in some ways he felt he'd let Jesus down, you know, instead of Jesus, he wouldn't disown him. And then, of course, he does. And Peter just kind of wore his heart on his sleeve and was always getting him into trouble because he just said the first thing that came into his head, bless him. And maybe we'd have been the same. But that's what he kind of did. But then you look at the difference when the Holy Spirit came upon Peter and the other disciples. And then Peter goes in that incredible discourse, that incredible passages released in Acts 2 about who Jesus was and what Jesus desires in everyone's life, and well, the nature of the cross and the resurrection, what it'd be all about. And of course, it's only like weeks after that even happened, and to explain who Jesus was. And he was completely transformed, completely changed. That's what the Holy Spirit did with him. But that's the power of prayer. Amen. We need God to empower us and to equip us and to change us. James 5, verse 16, James writes, "Therefore, confess your sins to each other," it's a good thing to do, "and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective," or avails much in the King James, you know that version. "The power of a righteous man is powerful and effective." The power of a righteous person is powerful and effective. God wants your prayers to be powerful and for them to be effective, to change things. Amen? And that's where faith is just so key in there, for us to pray with faith and expectation. Amen? A prayer releases power. It's powerful. And in my own life, I've seen so many situations change because of prayer. And sometimes you have to be persistent in that, absolutely. There's very much a place for persistent prayer in that. And somebody may don't see the changes straight away or as quick as we think we should. But prayer releases power. Amen? It releases the Holy Spirit to accomplish all that he desires to do. And it releases power within us. It changes us. Amen? You still with me?
Yeah.
Awesome. Praise God. So number three, prayer brings peace. Prayer brings peace. Now, prayer anchors the heart in anxious times. And that's what's something that's just so amazing about prayer. Philippians 4, 6 to 7, I love these verses. I love all of the word, obviously, but I love these verses. "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." Well, that would be amazing in itself, but then it goes on to say this, verse 7, "And a peace of God which transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." So as we pray, you know, we can cast these onto God. God knows the realities of what's going on in our hearts and in our minds, our anxiety, the things that keep us up at night, the things that stress us out. God knows. Remember, when we're praying, we're not giving information. He's well aware. Remember, God actually knows us better than we even know ourselves. He's got us totally figured out. Even we sometimes, we struggle to figure ourselves out sometimes. Like, why in the world is only prayer? Right? God has got us totally figured out. Absolutely knows why we make decisions, what we do. He knows how our brains are wired. He knows how we think, etc. And God knows about the stuff that brings us anxiety, but we can cast it on him. 1 Peter 5, verse 7, cast all, not on screen that one, but cast all your cares upon him because he cares for us.
Yeah. Amen.
Isn't that amazing? It's like that. It's that divine exchange, the divine exchange of a cross. You know, our sin is taken upon Jesus, then he pours his forgiveness onto us. You know, the divine exchange of the cross. And it happens here again. Our anxiety, as we cast it onto God, bring our requests before God, tell him about what's going on in our world, and not because he doesn't know, but he wants us to bring it to him and to cast it upon him. And then what he does is an incredible divine exchange. He completely replaces it with his supernatural peace, which transcends all understanding. It's not some kind of peace in the way the world understands it, where people just want to, you know, do a bit of meditation or a bit of mindfulness, or, you know, go out in the forest or something. You know, there might be peaceful places, true, but you're not going to find supernatural peace except with Jesus. I'm agree, right? You're not going to find it anywhere else. So the world is kind of searching for this, and this world that's crazy, confused. Where can I find peace in all this? People will do all sorts of things to try and find it, but you can only find it in Jesus. Because it's a supernatural thing. Mm. It's not kind of something you can make yourself do, some sort of mental ascent, something you can force, or just like I said, just go out in a forest somewhere. It's like, well, this is a peaceful place. That's not going to deal with your issues. That's good. That's not a bad thing to do in that sense. Lovely thing to do, especially in the area that we live in. It's not a hard thing to do. Finds it peaceful. But that's not going to give you supernatural peace. Only prayer can do that. Amen. As we bring our requests to God, make just tell her about how we're feeling. Don't ever feel that you can't be honest with God either. And some of the Psalms, you know, obviously David, King David, wrote loads of Psalms, some of when he was king, some of when he was shadowed before he became king. I mean, for want of a better terminology, I mean, some of them are just David having a rant. I mean, they really are, aren't they? Yeah. They're just David going, God, what are you doing here? Why have you forsaken me? Why have you let me down? Why have you done this? Why is this all going on in my world? I'm trying to follow you. All this stuff is happening. It's basically just David having a rant, isn't it, some of it? More like blitzing what the Word of God says, right? But that is the reality. What's happened there? David is just pouring out his heart. And sometimes he went through some really difficult stuff. He went through some stuff that was, he obviously did make some big mistakes. And there were some consequences to that. But there was a whole lot of stuff happening to him, which is totally unfair and not in any way his fault. And, you know, King Saul was, of course, was horrible to him and all kinds of stuff. And, of course, God was raising David up and rejecting Saul. If you know the whole story of how, or, you know, what God was doing there, it's because David was God's man as king. Anyway, lots of unjust things happened to me. He was just pouring out his heart. So I'm saying all that to say, don't feel you can't pour out your heart. Because remember, God knows anyway. You know, with God, you cannot pull the wool over God's eyes. Like, I can't possibly send that to Bill, because what's he going to think? Like, he doesn't know what's in our hearts, right? Well, Jesus was a master at, wasn't it? Because he totally understood people's hearts. It's what drove the religious leaders crazy. Because he exposed their hearts over and over and over again. He knew exactly where they were coming from, what they were thinking. He knew that they were all like trying to kill him. They knew the law said the murder was wrong, but he knew full well that they were all trying to kill him. So he just exposed that. So, yeah, but you want to kill me. I mean, and over and over again, he would expose the hypocrisy of what they were saying. You know, calling them like whitewashed tombs and all that kind of stuff. Whitewashed tombs full of dead men's bones. Well, Jesus didn't hold back, did he? For some of the stuff he shared with the religious leaders. And it was coming out of a place of love and compassion. He wanted them to change, to see their religion. It was just tying people up in knots rather than bringing freedom in God. Amen. So never feel you can't pour out your heart in an honest way. If life is tough and life is hard and you're going through some difficult stuff, you can deal with David is. You can just pour out your honest heart before God. Amen? Stop trying to pull the wool over God's eyes. Like he's somehow going to be offended or be confused or become aware of something he didn't understand. It's well aware of the realities, what's going on. Because God will then pour his peace into you. It's an incredible divine exchange. We bring our anxieties, bring our issues. Then he takes them, we can cast them onto him, and he replaces it as a supernatural peace. God is amazing. But time's going quick. So point number four, this is the final one. This is kind of broken down into a few. Okay, but don't panic. Okay. But also what happened in Acts is prayer was very much a lifestyle. Prayer was very much a lifestyle. So the prayers were powerful. It brought them peace. It really, you know, would unite them with heaven. But prayer was also very much their lifestyle. You know, and God wants prayer to be our lifestyle and kind of in the rhythm of daily life. You see it throughout the Old Testament and New Testament. Look at, say, Daniel, great man of God in the Old Testament. Daniel 6, verse 10 says this. Now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened towards Jerusalem. Three times a day, he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. So it was a big discipline in Daniel's life. And I think it's really important to say at this stage, we're not talking about being religious here. What I've written down, it's rhythm, not religious. Yeah. So there's two very different things. What's saying is Daniel was a real priority. So we don't want to become like some religions do. You know, we have to pray at 9 o'clock and we have to face a certain way and you've got to pray at 3 and you've got to pray again at 6. Because that's just being religious, right? Like we're just trying to get God to accept us or to love us a bit more. Well, maybe we'll go to heaven if we do these things. That's not Christianity, right? That's what people do in other religions. That's just up to them. But that's not hard Christianity at all. It's not about religious, being religious, right? It's not when people ask us, don't they? Sometimes people out of society will say, you know, are you religious? And we say, well, not really. No, not really. And they just completely confuses people, doesn't it? But we're not religious. We're not called to be religious. Jesus had a big issue with people who were like peddling religion. Yeah. He had a big issue with it and kept dealing with it, as we mentioned just a second ago. So it's about rhythm, not religious. And of course, God understands the realities. You know, so if you're working all day, you can't just like take an hour out of our day to, to, to pray, as good as that would be. It's something you just can't do, can you? In that sense. But let's allow it to be a discipline and a rhythm within us. You know, because sometimes it could be you find 5 minutes somewhere and you pray, and then you find five minutes somewhere else throughout the day, and then you pray. This is about rhythm and a culture of having a culture of prayer, not about being religious. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18, Paul writes, "Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." So of course we can't literally pray 24 hours a day. We need to sleep, we do have to eat, we have to work, look after kids and all those other, or go to school, college, whatever you're doing. There's lots of responsibility we have. But to be a continual thing throughout your day, if you're struggling with stuff, in a bit, pray, yeah. Right? Sometimes it can almost be like an afterthought, wasn't it? You kind of think afterwards, oh, I really should have prayed about that. Let's not be an afterthought. The first thing we do is like, God help me. God, you're going to need to help me here. If you're dealing with difficult things at work, ask God to help you. You're dealing with difficult customers. I don't know what we do in your workplace. Ask God to help you, right? If you're struggling with stuff financially, ask God to help you. Amen? Bring those things before God. Let's allow it to be a rhythm in our lives. Amen? Where we're desperate to get into God's presence. And for me, just being in the car is a great thing. I mentioned before, but I find it great. Just to get in the car is a great chance to pray, because then any distractions, was you're concentrating on driving. Just true. Do be distracted by concentrating on driving, in that sense, yes. As you follow all the signs and traffic lights, etc. Okay? But you can just get away from it. Just pour out your heart before God. But whatever works for you. Getting a room in your house, then maybe you can't get a room in your house because of kids or whatever, and that can be difficult because they'll always find you. Rian's laughing. That might be a reality. Well, so whatever it takes, go for a walk. I don't know, whatever you can do in your particular situation, everyone's situations is unique. Let's allow it to be a rhythm, a lifestyle within us. Amen. Like I said, if you find 2 minutes of work, that's still worth praying in those 2 minutes. Amen. Praise God. Matthew 6:6-8. So the rhythm of daily prayer was a thing for people in Acts, for personal prayer, for a thing that's personal to them. Matthew 6:6-8. So this is just before the Lord's Prayer. Jesus said this: "When you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. When you pray," it's interesting what Jesus says here, isn't it? "When you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they'll be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask them." This goes back to what we were saying earlier. Not giving God information. Well aware. He's well aware of what's going on in your world. In fact, he's even fully aware of what you're even going to pray. You remember, God's omniscient. He's not bounded by time either. He knows exactly what you're going to pray anyway, right? It's interesting what Jesus says here about do not be like the pagans, you think. And he also, another context talks about the religious leaders, and they thought, you know, because of their many words and their kind of professional prayers or great sounding prayers, that they'd be more heard. Again, that's not how God works, because he knows our hearts. You know, so often, I remember as a child growing up in a church environment, my parents were Christians, growing up in a church environment, I was terrified of, maybe this is your reality, or it's been your journey as well. I was terrified of praying in front of other people. It's like, this is the most horrifying thing that could possibly happen. First thing was raising my hands in church. That was a big battle I had to get through, to which about probably 13 or 14 to get to that stage. Before I could do that, I don't know why, I was just like so self-conscious about that. I don't know what it was. And in prayer probably even more so. Because you're going to think, oh, I'm just going to get it wrong. They're going to laugh. No, who's going to laugh at you in church? Nobody. Right? But this is the way we think, isn't it? Yeah. Everyone's going to laugh at me. They're going to think, what if I run out of words to say? What if I say something stupid? What if I halfway through a sentence and I don't know how to finish it? Now, all those kind of like things that go through our heads. But that's not how God works. Jesus, again, he's critical of those who just keep on babbling. Like they're using the professional words, and you've got to get this word in, you've got to get this word in. And you've got to get this word in, as if that kind of makes a prayer more effective. Of course it doesn't. That's not how prayer works. Amen? God wants to know what is from your heart.
Yeah.
Amen? So we're not only heard because of our many words or our professional words or our perfect words. It's about our heart. Amen? Our Father knows what we need before we ask him. So it should be personal, actually personal to us. Of course, there's a place for corporate prayer. And we're going to pray, I know time's going, but we're going to pray together in a second. I just want to read from Acts chapter 12, verse 5. This is where Peter had been thrown into prison for preaching about Jesus. So Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God forms. So you can see how much it was part of their culture. The night before Herod was to bring Peter to trial, he was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains. The sentry stood guard at the entrance. Suddenly, the angel of the Lord appeared and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him up. "Quick, get up," he said. And the chains fell off Peter's wrists. It was pretty miraculous, right? Then the angel said to him, "Put on your clothes and sandals." And Peter did so. "Wrap a cloak around you and follow me," the angel told him. Peter followed him out of the prison, but he had no idea what the angel was doing was really happening. He thought he was seeing a vision. You could totally understand, right? You think it was a dream, right? So they passed the first and second guards, and they came to the iron gate leading to the city. It opened to them by itself, and they went through it. When they'd walked the length of one street, suddenly the angel left him. Then Peter came to himself, so basically, it means he realized, oh, this is actually not a dream. It's actually reality. And when they've had those kind of vivid dreams where when you wake up and like for about a minute, you're kind of like, was that a dream? Did that really happen? They've never had an experience. So that's basically what's happened with Peter here. So that was pretty weird. That's pretty weird. I was in prison and an angel came and rescued me. And then he's like, actually, I'm not in prison. That didn't really happen. Anyway, verse 11. Then Peter came to himself and he said, "Now I know without a doubt the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from Herod's clutches and for everything the Jewish people were hoping would happen," as in the Jewish leaders who wanted to persecute Christians at that stage. When this had dawned on him, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, also called Mark, where many people had gathered and were praying. So kind of like you see the book ended in this passage that we read. The church was earnestly praying to God for him. And then it kind of bookends this in verse 12. Many people had gathered and were praying. Now, corporate prayer, we gathered together and pray, is so powerful. It's powerful in our own life, personal prayer, having a rhythm of prayer, but when we gather together and pray together, it's so powerful. Amen. It can change situations. It can bring miracles. We see people set free and healed and saved and restored. Amen. We can see places changed. We'd see our community change. Amen. Just like here, where they gather together in prayer and an angel miraculously comes and rescues Peter. You know, angels can be released to change situations, to set people free. Corporate prayer is so powerful. Amen. Let's just stand to our feet. We're just going to pray just for a few minutes. You know, the time is on quick. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the power of prayer. Lord God, for what prayer does in our personal lives. Lord God, what it could do, Lord, us together corporately. Lord God, and just now, right now, corporate prayer. Lord, we just cry out to you. I just encourage you to reach your hands out to God now. Let's all just pray together. Thank you, God. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you are God that hears our prayers. Lord, you are God that answers prayers. Lord, the prayer of a righteous person, Lord, is powerful and effective. Lord, our words change things, Lord. Lord, when we pray in faith and expectation, Lord, our prayers change the situations.
Yes,
Lord, we pray, Lord, for this area. Lord, we pray, Lord, for the walls beside him. Lord, God, we need you to move. Lord, we are desperate, Lord, for you to move, Lord, in this area. Lord, for every person, Lord, who the 40,000 people, Lord, that live in this area, the 30,000 in Tottenham and the surrounding areas, Lord, we're desperate, Lord, for every single one of them to hear about you, for them to know the reality, Lord, of who you are, Lord God. Lord, that everyone, Lord, might have an opportunity to invite you into their lives. Know the reality and hope, Lord, of who you are. Lord, we ask you to move by your Holy Spirit. Lord, to change situations, Lord, all kinds of social problems that are in this area with drugs and divorce and crime. Lord, we're in different situations of family breakdowns. And children growing up with our parents, with our fathers, Lord God. And there's all the different things that are going on, Lord God. We just pray, Lord, you just move by your Holy Spirit. Lord, you will just bring change. Lord, you'll bring restoration, Lord, where there's been destruction. Lord, you'll be freedom, Lord, where people have been bound up. Lord, the people will be set free from addictions, Lord, by the incredible supernatural power of God. Lord, the people will be set free. Lord, the marriages, Lord, that seemed hopeless, Lord, will be completely restored. Lord, where families are broken down, Lord God, you'll bring restoration, Lord God. Lord, you will bring a hope, Lord, into a hopeless world. Thank you, Lord God. We just pray, Lord, that you will do what only you can do. Lord, we don't believe, Lord, you're God who just wanted to do that in the book of Acts. Lord, you're God who's just saying yesterday, today, and forever. Lord, what you desire to do in the book of Acts, Lord God, with the birth of the early church and how it grew, Lord, is what you desire to do now, 2,000 years later. Lord, and we just pray, Lord, you just have your way, Lord, in this area, Lord, in our nation. oh God, you would have your way. Do what you desire to do, Lord. I pray that more Christians, Lord, will just rise up, Lord, in areas of government and councils, Lord God, and or local authorities. Lord God, that Christians, Lord, will just be so influential, Lord, in the different areas of local and national government, Lord God. Lord, you would do what only you can do, Lord God. Lord, that your morality, Lord, will be, Lord, our country's morality. Lord, well, Lord, our very country's been built on the reality of, Lord, what the Bible says, Lord, for hundreds of thousands of years, Lord, but it started to go its own way in so many different areas, Lord God. Lord, that your truth, Lord, will be this country's truth. Not some version of truth, not someone's version of morality, Lord, but your truth. Lord, it's the truth that sets us free. Thank you, Lord God. And I pray for each of every one of us and the part that we have to play within that. Lord, that you will just use us in that. Use us to reach people. Use us to reach people in our neighborhoods, Lord, in our communities. Lord, maybe, as Paul says, the men maybe just shine like stars in the darkness. Maybe shine so bright for you. Lord, people in our workplaces, Lord, in our neighborhoods, Lord God, our communities, Lord God, our schools and colleges, Lord, may they see you in us. Lord, may they see something that's completely different in us. Lord, may they ask questions and say, well, what's it all about? Why do you have peace in that situation? What's different about you? Why don't you do things the way that everyone else is doing things? Why do you have peace? Why do you have hope? Why do you have security? Lord, I pray that you use us, Lord God, wherever we find ourselves, Lord, for your glory, your purposes, Lord Jesus. Lord, move by your Holy Spirit. Lord, we need you to move, Lord God. We're desperate for you to move. Thank you, Lord. Just use us, Lord, individually, use us as a church body, church family together for your glory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Lord, we're desperate to see, Lord, this area changed. Lord, for your glory, pray for every church, Lord, in this area. Thank you, Lord, for them, for the leaders, Lord, for all those who are involved, Lord. Remember, every church, Lord, one, there'll be so much unity amongst the church, unity of purpose and belief, Lord. And also, Lord God, that every church, Lord, will just be full to the rafters. Lord, whichever church it is, Lord, they'll be full to the rafters for your glory, Lord God. Lord, that every church be seeing people saved and healed and baptized and restored and discipled. Thank you, Lord God. Do what only you can do. We need you to move. Thank you, God. You're so good. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You're so amazing. You're so amazing. God is good. God is so good. God is so good. Just a couple of little things just to finish. So once the new building is up and running, we really want to get some more corporate prayer stuff. I know there's things we haven't done for a while, and that's in that sense. So we certainly want to get that happen a lot more. We pray together and just believe God for the possible, believe for God to change situations and change our communities. Amen. So I just mentioned that if you really want help with kind of like the principles behind prayer, a brilliant book, I'm not commissioned this, but a brilliant book is by a guy called Pete Gregg, who mentioned before, you may know. It's called How to Pray. You can find it on Amazon. Brilliant. I've got it myself. It's a brilliant book. Just talk about the principles of how do we pray? What does prayer do? What are the different styles of prayer or different types of prayer? And how are our prayers affected? So I encourage you to get yourself that book. You know, read it, How to Pray by Pete Gregg. Is really, really helpful. And just to summarize, this series, let's be like the church in the book of Acts. Because as it is devoted, that's when the city of Sodom's world changed. As I understood what devotion means and what it is to be devoted to the word, that the word of God is the foundation of all that we do as a church, all that we do in our own individual lives. As we fellowship, as we connect with each other, whether it be in connect groups or just in any context, you fellowship with each other, we realize that none of us are supposed to be an island. We've been called to do life together, to encourage each other. Iron sharpens iron. Amen. To a church that's devoted to the journey of seeing us all growing up, being discipled, a church that grows up and grows out. We grow numerically, and we also grow up in our faith. We mature in the faith. We see new leaders constantly be growing. We see new areas of church being birthed.
Yeah.
And new areas of church being launched. Amen. Amen. And we're churches devoted to prayer. Prayer is the foundation of all that we do with us in our personal lives and when we come together. Amen. Our prayers are effective. We pray in faith, knowing that God hears our prayers and answers our prayers. Let's be that church. Yes. Amen. Remember, God is the same God who was 2,000 years ago with the birth of the early church. That's what God desires to do. What he desired to do then, he still desires to do now. Let's be that church. Amen. Amen. Just before we close, I just want to give an opportunity. If there's anyone here this morning and you've never invited God into your life, I'm just going to give you an opportunity to do that and to do that right now. Or maybe you've just gone away from God and you just need to reconnect and to kind of sort things out with God. I'm going to encourage you to pray this prayer as well. You know, because God wants to change you. He wants to come into your life. He wants to, his love for you is incredible. And the Bible says that God so loved the world, he gave his son, that whosoever believes in him, and that means you, whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. The Son of the Man did not come into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Now, Jesus is desperate to save you. And all you have to do is accept the reality of what he's done for you. That's it. And he'll pour his love into your life, his compassion into your life, his peace into your life. We'll never know his forgiveness for anything we've ever messed up in our lives. We'll know our complete acceptance from God. He pours in his righteousness and his holiness. You'll know the promise of eternal life in heaven with him, the glorious heaven, when you leave this earth. That's all things, all completely free. There's no jumps, there's no hoops to jump through. There's no catch. It's not too good to be true. It is an amazing, amazing reality. All we have to do is accept it. God, that's what I want. I need that in my life. I need you in my life. So that's you. I'd encourage you to pray this prayer and mean them with all of your heart. Let's all pray this together. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your amazing love for me. Amazing love for me. Thanks for coming to earth. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. So that I could be forgiven and healed, restored and made new. I invite you now into my life. I ask you to change me, to forgive me, to cleanse me. I want to live for you. I ask you to fill me with your peace, your grace, your mercy, your hope, and your love. I ask you into my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's keep your eyes closed for a second. If you prayed that prayer, you've never ever prayed a prayer like that before, or you're getting yourself right with God this morning, what I'd love you to do is just to pop your hand up and say, yeah, I prayed that this morning. No one else is looking around. This is just about for you and God. I prayed that this morning. Anyone? Don't miss your opportunity. Don't go home thinking, oh, I should have responded. Crazy God. You're so good. You're amazing. You're amazing, amazing God. Thank you for the power of prayer. Maybe never take prayer for granted. It can be so easy to do that, just to take it for granted, Lord God. We want to be in constant communication with you. Help us, Lord, to be disciplined, to make time in our day, Lord God. Make time in the car, make time at home, at work, whatever that looks like, and it'll be different for everyone. And God knows the realities of what we're dealing with. Lord God, but we want to make time. Lord, we want to communicate with you, Lord, and we want you to communicate with us. I want to hear your still small voice that brings truth and brings hope. Lord, speak to us through your word. Lord, bring the word of God. When we read the word of God, and there's the word and the Holy Spirit, they go together. Lord, they work together. Lord, I pray as we read the word, Lord, there's through your Holy Spirit, we just bring it to life. Lord God, the scriptures that we might have read 100 times, Lord, would you just bring them to life? Lord, no, Lord, that's for us, and that's you speaking to us. Lord, speak to us in dreams and visions and pictures as well, Lord. Whoever you want to speak to us, and it's different for different people, Lord, but whoever you want to speak to us, Lord, I pray we will hear you and be in communication with you. Thank you, God. You're so amazing. An amazing, amazing God. Lord, we're just devoted to you. Praise you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Amen.